Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Good morning, folks. We hope that everyone had a great weekend. A little chilly this morning, which is it's kind of nice going out, having a jacket on for the first time in a number of months. Been waiting for a little bit of the winter weather. It was kind of nice to have it arrive, finally. Guy Williams, President of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, will join us in the noon hour. We'll go behind financial headlines and talk about the U.S. Treasury and the breach there. We'll also talk about the crisis in New Orleans, downtown office buildings, dynamic pricing, what does it mean, and other economic issues. Arthur Hardy joins us at 11:30, editor and publisher of the Mardi Gras Guide. There are maybe some potential changes to Mardi Gras, and we'll talk with Arthur about that. The committee on Mardi Gras will be meeting, I think, this afternoon at 1 p.m. and or at 10 a.m. maybe this morning, and we'll visit with Arthur about that. Bernie Pensinot joins us in the 11 o'clock hour, political analyst, and we'll talk about the reelection of Louisiana Representative Mike Johnson as the House Speaker. We'll talk about this notion of bipartisanship, and we'll talk about a number of issues in politics as well as some of the new laws that are coming into effect as of January 1. We have been talking a lot about this past week since the tragic events of the terrorist attack on Bourbon Street, and this thing has taken a number of twists and turns and is getting to be even more complicated in many respects. And I hope that we just don't lose sight of what the end game is going to be here. I had this conversation with a number of folks last week on air, a lot of folks off air as well, as to where does this all end up. There's no doubt that criticism lies in many different places. And I said early on it wasn't about the bollards, it's about the execution. It's interesting where the paths that we're going down. But there are a couple of things that we know for sure, right? Islamic jihadism is alive and well. And as one author put it, you may not be interested in terrorism, but terrorism is interested in you. There was a great piece by Andrew McCarthy where he said the following. Fundamentalist Islam, which is better described as Sharia supremacism, is an authoritative interpretation of Islam. It may not be the authoritative interpretation. Islamic practice and belief is diverse, so the authoritative version really doesn't exist, but it is undoubtedly an authoritative interpretation. So dominant is it in the Muslim Middle East that it is accepted as authoritative even by Muslims who in their private thoughts and lives do not necessarily believe it or practice it. Because it is an Islam's supported by more than a millennium of scholarship and championed by some of the world's most influential Muslim nations, such as Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Establishments such as Al-Azhar University in Cairo, organizations such as the Muslim Brotherhood and its global tentacles, and figures such as the late Sheikh Yusuf Qaradawi, as well as Turkey strongman Recep Tayyip Erdogan, a key backer of the Brotherhood, Hamas, and Sunni jihadists, tied to such groups as Al-Qaeda and ISIS. But what most importantly, under this fundamentalist interpretation, it is the duty of Muslims to spread Islam by implementing Sharia, Allah's law and societal framework. This can be done in many ways. One of the ways undeniably endorsed by Scripture is jihad, otherwise known as struggle. In Allah's cause, the spread of Islam, in its classic understanding, jihad is a military struggle. Jihad is considered defensive when Muslims deem themselves under attack, which case all Muslims are obliged to support the jihad. Under attack is in the eye of the beholder. Sharia supremacists perceive Islam to be under attack. For example, if a territory that was once under Muslim rule falls under the control of non-Muslims, or if Muslims form an enclave in the West and a local government interferes with their determination to live under Sharia structures rather than the jurisdiction's laws, or if Muslims are aggressors and the aggrieved people dare to fight back. This is kind of a description of what we are actually dealing with. I said early on, pick a city, pick a state, pick a country, you're going to have any number of potential problems, threats. When we engage in what we do to try and minimize the risk, we're not going to eliminate all risk. That's never going to happen. But what's interesting is that whether or not we actually talk about this enough, whether or not we actually deal with this enough, federal level, state level, local level, or otherwise. And it really doesn't have much to do with what we did or we didn't do on New Year's Day morning. But the evidence is overwhelming as to what's going on. When you look at the list of attacks, New York Times had an interesting article where they outlined a series of attacks and plots either inspired or aided by ISIS over the past 5 years. And they say it's much longer than most people realize. I thought it was worthy of reading this, so we could gain a better understanding and put it in context. A double suicide bombing in the Philippines that killed at least 14 people in 2020. Several attacks in France, including the beheading of a teacher in 2020, the fatal knifing of 3 people in a church in Nice in 2020, and the killing of a teacher in a small city of Arras in 2023. The killing of 4 people by a gunman in a bustling Vienna neighborhood in 2020. The fatal stabbing of a British member of parliament in 2021 while he was meeting with constituents inside a church in a seaside town. A suicide bombing at the international airport in Kabul, Afghanistan, that killed 13 U.S. troops and roughly 170 civilians in August of 2021. The stabbing of 6 people at a supermarket in New Zealand in September 2021. 2 attacks in Israel in March 2022 that killed a total of 6 people. A mass shooting in Oslo, apparently targeting LGBT pride events, that killed 2 people and wounded 21 in June of 2022. The fatal shooting of 2 Swedish soccer fans in Brussels in 2023. A bombing in eastern Iran that killed about 100 people attending a ceremony honoring Qasem Soleimani, the deceased Iranian general, just over a year ago. The killer of a worshiper at a Catholic church in Istanbul by 2 gunmen last January. A mass shooting at a suburban Moscow concert hall that killed 145 people and injured more than 500 last March. The fatal shooting of 6 people near a Shiite mosque in Oman last summer. A foiled plot to bomb a Taylor Swift concert last summer in Austria that the authorities believe could have killed hundreds. The fatal stabbing of 3 people at a festival in western Germany in August. Attacks in Afghanistan, Democratic Republic of Congo, Iraq, Niger, Pakistan, and Syria that together have killed hundreds of people. So that is kind of an illustrative list over the last 5 years of incidents that were inspired or aided by ISIS. The evidence is clear that Islamic jihadism is alive and well. And it is a threat to our society and our community that we have to come to grips with. And maybe there needs to be a more concentrated and concerted effort in the development of actionable intelligence so that we are empowered to put in place the measures necessary to protect us each and every day. One has to ask, though, why is terrorism a slippery slope for law enforcement to discuss? There's been this sensitization as it relates to the Muslim community in the manner in which we talk about this, the reluctance for us to talk about the connections between religious beliefs and what is actually happening in this reign of terror across the world. We need to get over that. Facts are facts. We need to talk about what is actually happening out there and the threats that are being made to our way of life. As one author reporter put it, one investigates based on educated suspicion, and you move forward on that premise, collecting the data, but not be shy about calling things out for what they are at the point in time in the investigation. It's going to be interesting to see where we here ultimately end up. What are my concerns? Right now, the best that I can put together, it seems as though we may have four independent investigations that are going on at the local level and state level. AG Liz Morrell says she's going to have an investigation. Councilpersons at large, Moreno and Morrell, say that they're going to have an investigation. Councilman Oliver Thomas has indicated that he's going to individually conduct an investigation. The city administration is asking possibly someone like former NYPD Chief Bill Bratton to conduct an investigation. One thing that I know for certain based on my years of experience, that's too many people involved in an investigation. And we will get at cross purposes with one another, and there will be a lot of friction that'll be generated as it relates to this. Now, I don't want to be overly critical, but this is something you would expect to see in a banana republic. Someone, somewhere, somehow in this city, hopefully someone apolitical, can stand up and kind of bring people to the table. And let's think less emotional and political about this. Let there be no doubt. We have elections in October of this year, and that's very much influencing a lot of what is actually going on here. Let's call it for what it is, and let's step back, look at ourselves in the mirror critically, and recognize what path are we going to take? Because you know what we have at risk, folks? That I don't think a lot of people are...
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about, and I say this all the time, let the facts come out first before we start passing judgment, engaging in conjecture, this, that, thinking about what remedial efforts are going to be emotionally. Let's implement things that actually make us safe, not just feel safe. We don't need more soundbite politicians running around all over the place talking about this. Because our reputation as a city, as a city that's built to host, as a city that's about to host the NADA, the Super Bowl, Mardi Gras that we host every year, is at risk. Is at risk of being impaired. And unless we can speak with one voice, there is a benefit to the exercise of an investigation. But we don't need 4, 5, 6 independent investigations here. My suspicion at the end of any of these investigations is simply going to be this. We know what security measures we have a desire to implement. It's not rocket science, right? It's fairly easy to recognize what needs to be done. What's not easy is to execute. And what we're not talking about is the execution of whatever plan that may be out there. We already know what there's been several reports done about what we need to do once we decided that the French Quarter was a place worthy of heightened security. What I don't hear anybody saying is who's responsible when, why, and how in the execution of whatever that plan may be. So, for example, we are replacing security measures that are less effective than the ones that exist today that we're removing. Who made that decision? That's what I would like to know. And why was that decision made? And what is going to be the risk tolerance that we accept as a city? And who makes that decision? And are they folks that are actually communicating with one another about that happenstance? That is of much more value, in my view, than a lot of what we're talking about. Because you can have the best plan in the world, but if you're not and you don't have the players that can effectively and efficiently implement anything that is brought to the forefront, that's provided as a remedial measure, it's not worth the paper it's written on. What is the governance structure? We have individuals that have a lot of titles throughout city government, throughout state government, throughout the federal government. How do we go about compelling communication and acting on that intelligence? And who ultimately makes these decisions? At some point in time, there were bollards that were implemented, executed on, that provided a certain level of security, otherwise stopping power of a certain size vehicle at a certain speed, and now the new ones provide less than. Why would we do that? Who thought that was a good idea? Did it go through a value engineering process where maybe the dollars or the money wasn't available? Who decides when we're actually going to utilize all of these security measures? Is there a review process as it relates to the nature of the event that's going on at that particular time where someone can be held accountable for making the decisions, no, we will not put bollards in place. No, we will not put this security measure in place. Or yes, we will. Who is that person? Where is that person? After all this period of time, 6 days later, no one knows that. It's not been reported on. And therein lies the problem. Not what needs to be put into place, but who is responsible for making these decisions and picking and choosing what events do we actually deploy, what level of security measures that we have available to us? Who's bringing the facts about the assets that we have that we can deploy to minimize risk, and how do we go about doing it? On what date, what time, when do they come down? Is it a daily occurrence? Whatever it may be. Who are those people? I don't know about you, but I have not heard a single thing about any of that. The additional problem that we have is that we really need to come together. We are asking the federal government to go to a level one for the Super Bowl as well as Mardi Gras. Super Bowl obviously has received that designation over and over and over again. Mardi Gras, no. I could make a strong argument on behalf of Mardi Gras. I think most everybody could. But who's actually in control of that? Who's going to present the information and everything else? Or are we just expecting the federal government to make an emotional decision at this point in time, one that we're ultimately going to have to defend over and over and over again? And who's collectively bringing all of this together, the data and otherwise, to make the case so that we don't have to go through this exercise over and over and over again? Does anybody know the answer to that question? Have we spent a lot of time talking about that at all? These are the things and the considerations that go into the execution side of all of this, and we're not talking about it. We're reacting emotionally with, we need more, this security measure, that security, we need this, we need that, we need an expert to come in and tell us. We know what has to be done. If we have the appropriate people in the positions that should be addressing this, we know exactly what has to be done. What we obviously don't know is how to go about doing it, maintaining it, making sure that the care and custody of these measures are met each and every day, and that they are, in fact, operational 24/7, 365. And until we reach this point, we will tend to look a little bit like a banana republic. We'll be right back. We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us.
Back in 1980, 70% of clothing worn by Americans was made by Americans. Today, it's 2%. And the reason is simple. It's cheaper to make things overseas. But that doesn't change the fact that 2% of textile manufacturers have refused to give up on this country, and those companies deserve to be congratulated. I'm talking about companies like American Giant. American Giant controls every link in their supply chain, and that matters because when you buy from American Giant, you create jobs for people in factory towns all across this country. Look, I get it. Nobody wants a lecture. But if you want to see more companies make more things in this country, you got to support the companies who are already doing that very thing. This holiday, check out the clothing at American-Giant.com. Flannels, hoodies, t-shirts, and jeans made to last a lifetime. Support the 2% who are still making it here at American-Giant.com.